Does it feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill working for someone else?
Are you an investor that doesn't have the support to succeed?
Author, investor, and real estate master Chris Prefontaine is here to help. As one of the nation's top producing investors with over 25 years' experience, Chris can be with you in the trenches to take your business to the next level. Whether you're all alone looking to do your first deal, or you already have a team established and you're looking to grow to the next level, this is your master's class. Let's get started.
Good morning and welcome, smart listeners. I'm Chris Prefontaine, and my focus weekly is to bring you an expert who can help you make a quantum leap in your business, your finances, and or your life. Buckle in here with us while we bring you the next master's class. You guys know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, that on purpose, I don't bring you just people in our niche. I know a lot of people that run podcasts do that. I, on purpose, bring you variety, bring you people from all different niches in the real estate industry. And there's a reason for that. It's not so that you can get caught up in the next shiny object. I don't want you to do that. What I want you to do, though, is be equipped. Be equipped so when a deal comes your way, an investor comes your way, something, an opportunity comes your way, you know either which way to pivot, which way to handle it, or who to call to go ahead and get it handled. We're going to spend some time today with Neil Bauer from San Francisco. He's the CEO, founder at Grow Capitus, a commercial real estate investment company. Neil sources, he negotiates, and he acquires commercial properties all across the U.S. for 200-plus investors. Current portfolio, get this, is 1,000 units, projected to be 2,000 in another 12 months. This portfolio includes multifamily and student housing properties in six different states right now. He also serves as CEO at Multifamily U. It's an apartment investing education company. He speaks at events, meetups all across the country. Nearly 4,000 students attend his multifamily seminar series each year, and hundreds attend his Magic of Multifamily boot camps. Thousands hear his podcast, and you're about to hear some talk with him and I right now, and I know you're going to value that, and I know you're going to get some great takeaways, so grab a pen and paper. He's been featured in over a dozen podcasts and radio shows, actually. His management techniques and revenue optimization techniques for multifamily are considered unique in the industry. So we'll talk a little bit about that. He's the co-founder of the largest multifamily investing meetup network in the U.S., BAMF. I'll have you talk about that a little bit when you come on, Neil. It's a group of investors that has over 3,000 members. He's taught the fundamentals of multifamily investing, real estate trends, and deal analysis to over 1,000-plus students. Let me just give you, I'm not going to give you the whole portfolio, but I'm going to read to you some of the things I got prior to this interview for a portfolio, just to get you guys thinking a little bit about who we're going to be chatting with here. A managed, co-owned with investors, 235-unit multifamily in Dallas, 388-bed student housing in Vegas, 355-unit student housing in Buffalo, New York, 102-unit mixed housing project in Utah. I could go on and on. That's only half the list. So I want to welcome to the show here today, Neil Bauer. Neil, welcome.
Thanks so much, Chris. I'm delighted to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm super psyched to have you. And as I said in the introduction, I love these guys to get exposure to as many people as they can because, look, I'm not the multifamily expert, and I want them to know who to turn to. So do this for them because they don't know you. Take us behind the green curtain a little bit and give some context as far as the when, the how, and the why you get started in investing in real estate in general, and then we'll kind of hone it in.
Sure. Well, I'm not real estate royalty, right? I haven't done 1,000 loans. I haven't done 100 flips. I'm a technologist that got into real estate by accident, work because of my day job, where I was building large technology campuses that were 30,000 square feet each, and I was building them from scratch. So I was doing this as a tech executive, and it was part of my job as a chief operations officer. And so I kind of stumbled into real estate that way. And at that point, it wasn't multifamily, it was commercial office space. And that was 2003. And then after that, I realized I really liked real estate and I was good at real estate. And then I went backwards and I went to the single family. I bought 10 homes in Madera, California, loved it. I still own those homes, ran out of loans, refinanced, got my wife's name off, went to Chicago, bought 10 triplexes, loved that experience, but of course ran out of loans again for her. And then I started looking at multifamily just to invest my own, you know, passive money. I was a partner in a technology company that was cash flowing like crazy. So I was just investing my own money, not anyone else's, not family money, just me. And so when I ran out of all of those single family loans, I said, well, what the hell do people do when they run out of loans? There must be something else. And I discovered multifamily. And I realized, oh, this is my kind of stuff, right? I'm a chief operations officer. I have 400 employees. And I understand how do you scale businesses? And to me, I realized a multifamily, a $20 million multifamily, is just a business. You're buying a business and improving that business. And that really, really connected with me on a metrics level, on a dashboard level. This is what I was used to doing. I was just doing it in real estate. And then I started teaching that multifamily the skills that I was learning as a passive investor. I'm not active at this point. I'm a passive investor. I'm teaching those skills. And I opened a meetup and I started telling people, hey, this is what I'm learning from all these syndicators that I'm passively invested. But then people really started to love that. My goal was to get to 200 investors for that meetup, and then 500, and then 1,000, and then 3,000. And as of today, we're at 4,880 people in that meetup. It's the largest in the US. So the story just kept going. And along the way, I just got swept along, sold my technology company, exited, reinvested that money into multifamily, and then basically started doing active syndications myself. I know you mentioned about 1,000 unit portfolio, but on the 20th of September, I will hit 1,600 units nationwide. So it's been a fantastic journey. And all along, I haven't changed from the fact that I'm a technology guy and I'm a data and analytics guy that looks at real estate with a very different kind of a lens than most people do. So that's really, my story.
Really, really cool. Thanks for sharing, Neil. You know what was neat? You said I've had, two, three, maybe four multifamily people on the show, different niches within the niche. And you said something that's logical to me, but I bet you no one has said this and out of all the experts we've had on, and that was the simple statement that you treat the multifamily or the building, so to speak, as a business. So simple, it's so effective. Pretty cool.
It really is. I mean, if you think about it, we are in the business of raising net operating income. And how do you do that? You reduce expenses and you increase income, but only in real estate. And you know, there are a few other niches like it. But in commercial real estate, the magic is simply this, that when you increase your net profit by $1, by a single dollar, you actually end up making $21. That doesn't happen anywhere else. It's the magic of cap rates. Why? Because when you increase your income by $1, well, you get that $1 every single year. So if you're in the project for 5 years, now you've made $5 by increasing a buck. And when you sell at a 6 cap or a 6.5 cap, that $1 that you increased in your profit, whoever's buying it will give you 15 bucks for it, or 16 actually, 16 bucks for it. So now you've already made $5 in cash flow, and now you're making 16 bucks when you sell. So it is so easy to be enthusiastic about wanting to bump up your income by a dollar, knowing that you're about to make 21.
Yeah, that is really cool. So it's kind of like when I say to people, would you go, it doesn't matter what niche, but when I'm talking about mine, would you go into whatever course or whatever affiliate program, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter the cost, would you go if you knew you could double your return and you knew it said certain you could? Well, man, if you're doing a dollar to turn it into 16 and you say to them, I can show you how to get from A to Z, I don't know who would not want to do that with you.
It's huge. And that is one of the reasons why I founded Multifamily U. Multifamily U is a website that has dozens and dozens of data-driven analytics webinars. You could call it Multifamily for Geeks and it would still work, because it really is for people that are data-driven, analytics-driven. I'm a data scientist myself on the technology side. So what I'm trying to do is to basically read the tea leaves when it comes to various operational things and say, which one of this leads to the most amount of profit, or which one of this saves me the most amount of money, and implement it in that order. So a lot of my webinars are really about use of data science to figure out various things. For example, the one that's most popular is, yeah, I do a webinar that is called Figuring Out the Best Cities and the Best Neighborhoods in the US to Invest in 60 Minutes. For either single family or multifamily. It doesn't really matter, because it's the same presentation, and it's a 60-minute presentation with no PowerPoint. It is just demos of live processes that you can do on the internet, and 60 minutes later, you would be practically a genius at any city or any neighborhood in the US, because you're applying data analytics principles. And that's what I don't see people do in real estate. They talk about it a lot. There's a lot of lip service. There's a lot of glossing over the data, but I don't actually see people applying data to everything that they do. And that's really the differentiation for me. And that's the differentiation for multifamilyu.com. If you're there, you'll notice that the presenters that I'm bringing in, they are like me. Ingo Windsor is CEO of Local Market Monitor. It is the best company in the US for predicting cities and neighborhoods to invest in. Brian Hennessy is the author of Commercial Due Diligence, or Due Diligence for Commercial Properties. It's an Amazon bestseller. And he's a master at making sure that when you go into an office property or a multifamily property, you actually do your due diligence correctly. Those are the sort of guys that I connect to my ecosystem of 4,000 people that are taking webinars each year at multifamilyu.com. And the focus is really on how do you make good decisions using good data?
So you know what I'm thinking, I love just chasing this wherever it goes, is I'm listening thinking this is so cool and such a neat level to come at this at. So tell me if I'm wrong with this observation. Sounds like some people come on and say, okay, we'll do exactly as I did and you know run my path. Sounds like you're even a step above that saying, look, here's what I did because I had this specialty, but because I had this specialty, now I have the multifamily you. Now I have the meetup and now all this stuff is exposed to the audience. Am I projecting that properly?
It is extremely exposed. I am very transparent and I don't just tell people do what I did. I tell people do what I did and it blew up and I lost money or my investors lost money. So here I do analytics of my failures more often than I do analytics of my successes because I find that success is a little bit overrated. It's failure that's really valuable, right? So I failed before. I've made huge mistakes before. So I feel that for my audience, it's more important to know about my failures than my success. But yes, I am all into showing. What I don't want to tell people is do what Neil Bauer does because he's Neil Bauer. I want to say, do what Neil Bauer does because of these 17 steps. And oh, by the way, I didn't invent these steps, right? These are steps that I've learned over time. What I've done is I have taken steps that are buried in books somewhere and I've turned them into technologically easy to take steps. I've turned them into templates. I've turned them into flowcharts. I've turned them into Excel spreadsheets. But I've turned them into something that you can do on a step-by-step basis without being an expert and without needing to hire me as an expert or a consultant. Really, it's meant to be you being independent on your own. And that's what I really like. I do not want people stuck to me because they don't have the confidence to do things by themselves. I find that almost everything can be broken down into a series of steps.
It's interesting. I see here two parallels to my situation. One is the very beginning when you said you weren't in real estate. You did that through kind of a company and running some commercial buildings that way or the build out. When I grew up in a family company, my dad wasn't in real estate. It was actually a welding supply and industrial gas business, but he built his own buildings and then rented them back to himself from his company. And that's what exposed me. So we kind of entered in this very similar fashion, which is unique. And then when you said at the end, the second thing I noticed is you said just then on that question, nothing that's not out there. You just compiled all this information and kind of, I'm going to say very facetiously, spit it out the other end, very, very sophisticated. So I say to people, look, what we do in our niche, it's not new. It's been around for decades and decades before we all existed. What we did is we took it and put it into a system. So very similar the way you and I came at this. And I didn't know that obviously prior to, this is a live conversation. I want to go back to the two things, the multifamily U and the meetup. So the meetup, talk about that a little bit. You say 4,000 people. So is this all, I'm assuming, a meetup online? This is not, and how often? Like, talk about the meetup a little bit.
Sure. So the meetup is for the San Francisco Bay Area, right? So we have locations throughout the San Francisco Bay Area and all of those people come to the meetups. And I do 4 presentations a year. And once again, very entertaining, very eye candy, because I also believe that when you do presentations, you shouldn't just be providing high quality data. You've got to make it entertaining, right? So, you know, a mentor that I used to know said, if you want to teach, start by entertaining. Right? Make it entertaining, make it interesting, because if people zone out at the beginning, they'll never get to your aha moments. So I do these very creatively designed presentations. When I grew up, we were very poor. So I used to do graphics design for movie companies in India. And that's where I learned the skills. So I make these interesting presentations. I deliver them in the San Francisco Bay Area in 3 or 4 locations. When I'm done, then I take a smaller version of that presentation and I deliver it online. So the audience online is all over the U.S., probably mostly coming from my dozen podcasts. They're coming from Bigger Pockets. They're coming from YouTube or the other places where my presentations are. And so I have about, I'd say about 2 1,000, maybe 2,500 people that are actively engaging with us that are not in the San Francisco Bay Area. And then there's about 5,000 people or almost 5,000 people that are in the San Francisco Bay Area meetup scene. And those are the people that I meet in person. And so to me, these are two different ways of learning. And I have some students that actually do both. They'll come in person, they'll get to learn, and then they'll get to network. Whereas the online folks, I haven't found an effective way of getting them networking together, but they're coming into my website constantly to learn the new webinars that I'm putting out. And the key is quality. I mean, I spend 30 to 40 hours of work when I'm locked away with my phone turned off to design one of my webinars.
Hey, smart listeners, just a quick break for an important message. We get asked all the time exactly how our family team continues to do several profitable deals every month in real estate and what you can do to copy our success yourself. We're constantly updating our systems, our checklists internally, our deal finding tools, our scripts, emails, attorney agreements, and all kinds of other tools and tips and techniques and protocol to help you have a profitable business. We bring all that and a lot more to our students and our associate level members. So any pain, success, or stumbling blocks you're going through, I promise you we've been there. The difference is we've figured out how to break through all the roadblocks and can shortcut your learning curve by allowing you to do and have the same tools and secrets that we use without having to suffer the way we did to figure it all out and incurring the cost. You can literally just step in using all our systems and tools and copy what we do for yourself. Sound interesting? If you'd like to discover more about how we can jumpstart your success, I invite you to check out our free webinar and grab your over $1,500 worth of gifts and bonuses that we offer after you attend, which includes a free strategy call with us. If you're serious about developing a business the easy way, the simple way, the predictable way, without being forced to spend years trying to figure it out yourself, a business that literally creates three distinct paydays per deal, averaging right now around $75,000 per deal, just text the word REAL to 66866. That's capital R, capital E, capital A, capital L to the number 66866. And we'll send you some info about our free ebook as well as our webinar. Hope to see you there. Talk to me a little bit about, you mentioned India and growing up poor there. When did you come to the States and what brought you here? I want to make sure we add that to the whole picture.
Sure. I came in 1997 and I was a technologist, a network engineer, came in here, started working for a network engineering company. A year later, they promoted me to the senior most manager in the company. And then I stayed with them all the way to 2013. That's the company that I built technology campuses for from scratch. And that's what I got where I got my real estate bug. So they large classrooms, right? And what the beauty of it was, I realized that the same large classrooms were empty in the evening. So I got permission from my boss to allow meetups there. So if you think about how my meetup group grew very quickly, well, the secret sauce is that people, when they are going to evening meetups, do not want to go to a crowded office where there's only space for 20 people and 15 of you are standing. They want to go to a learning environment. And where do we learn best? In a classroom. And I had all these huge empty classrooms. So my meetup accelerated and grew 10x faster than everyone else's because the environment for learning was perfect.
Oh, I love it. I couldn't agree more. And just everything about what you're telling me and sharing with the audience is all about learning. Talk a little bit about, speaking of learning, what you referenced earlier when you said you can and the audience can learn more from your mistakes, because we all made mistakes, right, Neil? And every guest has been on said, yep, I made them. Not only did I make them, but I'm glad I made them and here's what I learned. So maybe talk about one that stands out in your mind as a major, major learning experience, and maybe even because of it, the success you created.
Absolutely. My greatest failure and greatest success were the same project. So this is a project that we bought. It was my first syndication project. Isn't it amazing how many of us learn so much from the first one, right? Because we simply don't know what we don't know. Absolutely. So we bought this property in Chicago, and it was in a neighborhood that I thought was like a C, but actually the neighborhood was rougher than that. It was a C or a D, depending upon, you know, which year we're talking about. And what I felt was that because it was right next to the area where the Obama Presidential Library was going to be built in Jackson Park in South Chicago, I was done. I was done because of that. And later on, I realized that Tiger Woods was building a PGA Championship golf course right next to the library, right? So when I say all of this stuff, Chris is thinking, wow, this is really great. Why is he saying that this was bad? And the answer is because none of those things had happened when I bought the property, and none of those things would have gone into construction for another 2 or 3 years. So what I learned was you don't buy bad demographics just hoping for future improvements. You buy based on today's demographics, today's tenants, and their ability to pay today. And then you use event things that are happening in the neighborhood as your gravy. You use it to exit quicker, or you use it to exit at a higher dollar number than you projected to your investors. But you don't buy in a certain area just because something awesome is going to happen 4 or 5 years in the future. And so the lesson I learned there was demographics. So the people that are in that apartment complex do not pay on time. My delinquency is always above 15%. I always have 30 plus evictions going. And those 30, that churn, that constant eviction means that my maintenance costs are through the roof. So what I learned from there is when you're starting out, the first thing you want to learn is truly understand the demographics of the area. You want to know population. You want to know rent growth. You want to know income growth. You want to know, you know, what the real cap rates are at that place. Not the cap rates that the brokers are telling you about, but what is really selling in that marketplace? And is there distressed inventory? Are there real jobs in this area, right? So I learned all of these things and I put them all together into my presentations. So if you go to multifamilyu.com/toolkit, multifamilyu.com/toolkit, there's a toolkit there. And this toolkit is years and years of learning. It's all of the videos, all of the articles, all of the reports, all of the trends that I have basically captured over time. And the hunger to do all of those things came from my failure with this building. I learned from a colossal failure that I could not ignore demographics. I thought that I was buying below market. As it turned out, I was buying significantly above market. So it was a shock to me. What I realized, Chris, that what I'd gotten professional training on, which was, you know, my degree was on analytics and in data science, I should be applying that to real estate. I thought that in real estate, you do things differently. Well, actually you don't. You do the same things. You're just applying it to a different platform. And so it was a huge learning. And so for you guys, it's hard for you to visualize this, but the toolkit is massive amounts of learning gathered over years, just so that you can hopefully not make the same mistake that I made.
So it sounds like if they go to multifamilyu.com, they can get plenty of information for free. And then I'm sure you have courses and other things they can delve into should they see a fit for themselves, correct?
It is. So the vast majority of everything that's on multifamilyu.com, the toolkit, all of the webinars, both from me and from other presenters, many other industry experts that are in that field, not just the multifamily field, but the real estate field, are all free. There is one product that I have on there, and that is a bootcamp. It's a multifamily bootcamp. It's live online. It's me teaching online just like this. I actually use Zoom to teach it. And that bootcamp is designed for professionals that want to learn about multifamily and don't have the time to fly to Boston or fly to the San Francisco Bay Area. So it's live online in the evenings, two successive weeks. And I basically poured all of my knowledge of technology and processes and systems into that bootcamp. There is no follow-up. There's no coaching, no mentoring, no tapes. There's no secondary sale. And the biggest promise I make about that bootcamp is that even though it's 12 hours of very accelerated, dense learning, not 1 second of those 12 hours will be spent pitching you on anything. You come in, you've already paid. The cost is extraordinarily low. I keep it at $1,000. I know that there's $25,000 and $50,000 boot camps in multifamily. I'm not sure why they're that price. To me, we charge, I believe that the price is $1,295, and then we have a $300 coupon. I think it's called Thrive that we give away on every podcast. Because my goal is for $1,000, you're going to know if multifamily is for you. When you finish, you may not be a multifamily expert, but you're going to know if you want to be one. And that is something that is achievable in $1,000. The second thing that you will achieve is you'll say, for 12 hours, I learned things that were specific. No fluff, no PowerPoint, just specific demos, sites, processes, spreadsheets, all of the things that I need to really run a multifamily business. That's what I learned. Those are the two promises that I make and I keep.
Well, I appreciate that. So for $1,000, I say this all the time, similar to our online platform, man, anyone in our niche, or I don't care if you're doing wholesaling or flipping, which is not my niche, for $1,000 to go on, get an education, as Neil said, and then have that in your kind of bag of tricks, so to speak. And then if you want to delve deeper, fantastic, he'll get you there. And if you don't, you get a nice education, money and time well spent. So I appreciate you sharing that. So you've been at this, Anil, I think you said since 03, am I accurate on that, 2003?
On a part-time basis. I didn't actually sell my technology company until 2013, and so I haven't been full-time until after that. But building campuses was 2003, then built a larger one 2007, and built many more all the way to 2013. Single family, the process was 2008 to 2010, and then multifamily investing, passive and active, starting 2011.
So you got some good background and some good time in the trenches, so to speak. What would you consider to be one of your biggest wins, and why? What comes to mind when I say biggest win?
My biggest win was that I realized that the multifamily industry in the US is lazy. People are making money. There's lots of syndicators making money, making 20%, 25% a year for their investors. But I found that the industry is lazy. It's filled with fat cats who've been doing this for 20 or 30 years. They have all the connections, they know everyone, they have huge knowledge, and they're leveraging their connections and their knowledge to double people's money all the time. But they're lazy because they haven't used technology. I find that the stuff that would get implemented in a technology company in the first 6 months is not done. And I realized this was a place for me. This is a place for all of you listening. If you're going into multifamily and you have some understanding of technology and processes of technology that we use for efficiency, let's say you've been doing fix and flips, or let's say you've been doing wholesaling, haven't you been using lots of software and technology? Well, that stuff, if you take a bunch of it and reapply it to multifamily, you're going to be ahead of all these fat cats that own 10,000 and 20,000 units because they're not doing it. Time permitting, I can go into a lot of examples of the sort of stuff that I've done that people are just wowed by it. And I look at it and say, well, firstly, in other parts of real estate, this stuff is standard. And secondly, in any other technological field other than real estate, it's no big deal. A whole bunch of people would know what I know. So I'm always taken aback by the fact that people think that I'm something new.
Well, I've got notes upon notes upon notes, so I think this begs that we do an encore interview at some point. No question. In the meantime, they can bridge that gap with getting their butts over to multifamilyu.com. I want to jump with you so they again kind of see how this whole thing ticks and what makes you tick, and get to some wrap up questions. Maybe four or five wrap up questions. Give us two, three, whatever works for you. Productive things you do every single day to be the very best at what you do, because you seem very, very disciplined, to say the least. Give us some things that we can take away from it.
I am a robot. I am actually a robot. So I need to go through a CT scan to confirm that. But so the most productive thing of the day is not done on the day. It's done the day before. When you end your day, you need to spend 5 minutes figuring out what you're doing the next day. Look at your calendar and write down three things that you want to achieve the next day. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. Whenever you write them down, make sure you write them down in the same software, right? So you can use something like OneNote so that each day you know what the previous day's things work. Because not only do I go write down three things for the next day, I scroll down and see how well am I doing on the 3 days that I wanted to do the previous days. So that's one of my favorite things to do. The second thing is I use a lot of virtual assistants, and I strongly suggest that anyone in real estate use them. The first thing that I do every morning is I hold a meeting with virtual assistants, right? I go through my calendar, I talk about what it is that they're doing, and we talk about the agenda for the day and what we're hoping to achieve that day. So once again, I'm taking up the previous evening's information, now I'm bringing it to today, and we're having a meeting that's specific to those goals. And then the third thing that I like to do is I like to be organized. What people always say, we've never had time to be organized, we're so busy. And I believe that is just pure BS. You're just bullshitting yourself when you say stuff like that. So have a slot in your day where you don't check email, where you don't send out quotes. All you're doing is saying, what do I already know my team needs to do to be more organized, right? Little things matter. For example, our team uses a software called TeamSync. It's installed in Chrome for every single person across the US and the Philippines, which synchronizes our bookmarks. Now you think about that and say, no big deal. No, it is a big deal. Because now every single bookmark on every single Google Doc and every single Dropbox Doc and every other thing that we do is in one place. That's all of our bookmarks together. And from time to time, I'll go in and reorganize those bookmarks as my company changes, right? LastPass, we use LastPass so that every password in our company is shared with the right people so that as soon as they leave, we can go into LastPass and change, you know, those passwords. Structure is something you think about every day, not once in a month.
Those things are huge. And I have parallels to each one of these as usual, but from a time standpoint, this afternoon, I want to talk about just one and highlight one that you mentioned. That's the VAs. We spend now, Neil, about, and we're just a small family company, there's seven of us. We spend 80 to 110 hours billable with VAs right now. Sounds like you do that or then some. And I want people to understand there's so many different ways to go at that, but every single person I've had on the show utilizes VAs in some shape, form, or fashion. So that's pretty cool. Again, a lot of similarities here with what we do and how we build and how we scale. Could you share with us a favorite, two things actually on the book front. What book are you reading now? Love to hear it. And what's your favorite real estate book?
Well, the favorite real estate book, you know, other than Robert Kiyosaki's book is Multifamily Millions. It's a book written by Dave Lindahl and really got me started into multifamily because it's a thinker's book, right? It's not going to give you a lot of tools, but it's going to get you thinking about multifamily and understanding the difference between multifamily and single family and why so much wealth has been created over 1,000 years. Keep in mind, multifamily is over 1,000 years old as a asset class. And why so many of the richer people tend to gravitate away from single family towards multifamily. So it really helps you think about scale. Other favorite book? Well, that's an interesting one. It's actually been a while. I need to catch up on my reading. Any book that really talks about how process, the one thing is actually a phenomenal book. Check that one out. It's marvelous because it focuses you. I like things. I find that a lot of really brilliant people are unfocused. And so anything that I can read that helps me focus is very beneficial.
The one thing has actually been brought up by about 40% of the guests on the show. And I read it actually way before I started the show. It was several years ago when we were in Grand Cayman. I read that on the beach. I'll never forget it. And then since then, it again keeps popping its head up. I just finished this weekend the Warrior book. And in that, it's mentioned, man, numerous times. So super, super valuable book. If the listeners have not grabbed that yet, The One Thing, Gary Keller, and I forget his partner, but you'll find that if you just search The One Thing. So here's my last question for you, Neil. And then again, I think this interview begs to do an encore because you have so much information to share. Back when you were, because you shared with us India, 1997, I think it was, tell me or tell the audience what the heck you were thinking as a young, say, student in your earlier years. I'm talking about grades 1 through 12 or however they had you set up there. What were you thinking you wanted to be? What were you thinking you wanted to do way back then?
To me, back then, my aspirations were very simple. I just wanted to be a better network engineer and build better networks. And I hated living in India, by the way, because after I finished college, I went to work for this big company called Larsen & Toubro. And that company was in Mumbai, and they had 27,000 employees, and I worked there. And I would keep submitting suggestions, and they wouldn't go through. All they really cared about is that people show up for work on time, as opposed to changing, doing different things. The change resistance was phenomenal. So then in my mind, I said, I want to go to the United States because I think that people can, you know, have more flexibility towards change there. And I think I was right because I came here as an instructor, a network engineering instructor, wanting to teach. And within a year became the senior most manager in the company because I was constantly harping about the fact that the company was not doing things right. And we had 7 employees. When we sold the company, we had 400. Right. So we took it from 7 to 400 because my CEO, my boss, saw that I had a penchant to bring about change, a positive change. And he basically went along for the ride and he was very flexible on those sorts of things. So to me, the difference between India and the US, and it's not changed at all in the last 25 years, is this place, it allows change, it accepts change. And if you're the change, people around you are going to flock to you. That's what I've seen. And I absolutely adore my adopted country because of that. Nothing has really changed here. We're still the greatest country in the world.
Well, that, me knowing that that was going to be your statement, super, super way to answer that, the latter part of that question. Thank you for being so candid. And it sounds like I just want these guys to put a huge explanation point on this story, because you went from literally zero in India, zero real estate experience, to 100 miles an hour, and then helping so many other people take that same path. So really, really awesome, Neil. Appreciate it. And could you also share, just in case there's another way besides the website you gave, the best way to reach you, and I'll also include it in the show notes, or would you just want them to go to the site? It's up to you.
I think that the site is really the best way, because my philosophy is that site. My information is actually on the website, so they'll be able to connect with me very quickly once they go to the site. But I suggest that they start with the Trends Toolkit, because you need to understand what's happening in real estate right now. We are in changing times. I do not believe that this time will come again. It is a very, very unusual time because of what happened in 2008. And everyone needs to understand what that means for their area of real estate.
I think that's good for anyone. I think I said it earlier in the show. I mean, I'm going to do it tomorrow morning. So I think it's great for anyone to jump on that.
Well, I'd love to come back, Chris, and talk very specifically about some of the cities and neighborhoods techniques that I have that I could actually do on the talk and tell people how to pick the right neighborhoods and the right cities in the U.S. Just, it takes 30 minutes and they'll learn a tremendous amount.
We'll jump all over that. Okay, smart listeners, my closing thoughts, as always, grab 1, 2, 3, probably more on this interview, action items that you can go ahead and run with. For starters, I would leave this, besides listening to it again and again, and jump on to multifamilyu.com. I'd jump all over the toolbox idea. Just a plethora of amazing information. Also, be sure to see the show notes below the podcast if you're on smartrealestatecoachpodcast.com. If you're not, jump on over there now. Lastly, if you're on iTunes or wherever you are, if you enjoyed the episode, give us a rating. It's going to help others discover the great information, and we greatly appreciate it. Neil, we appreciate you spending some time with us today. We all have the same 168 hours a week. They go by so fast, and they're so super valuable. And you took almost one of those between your prep work and your time with me today. So I appreciate that. Go off and enjoy and make super productive your remaining 167. And thanks for sharing with our listeners today, Neil.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you for listening to our Smart Real Estate Coach podcast. Want more? Text the word REAL to 66866 and get our Eat That Sandwich ebook about creating fast, stable cash flow with sandwich leases. Packed full of actionable real-life examples and advice to help you move to the next level of investing.